Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
All right. Welcome back to Hour 3 of the Cook and Joe Show. We're pleased to be joined on the line by a guy who's covered the Bengals for about 100 years and, thankfully for me, has been a friend of mine for about that long. One of the nation's best sports columnists, Paul Daugherty of the Cincinnati Inquirer. Hello, Doc. Good afternoon. How are you today?
I think it's 99 years, brother.
Well, we've been at it a long time. I know that. Paul, all week we've been asking the question. Apparently A.J. Green came out and said, this is a different Bengals team. Do you see that so far, and are you a believer yet? Are you drinking that? You got Bengals fever yet?
I don't know. It seems to be a little different, but we've said that a few times before, Ron. You know, we're not gonna let the Steelers get into our heads this year. We're gonna be poised. We're just gonna play football. Well, they say that on Wednesday, and then Sunday afternoon comes, or whenever, and it doesn't actually happen. I mean, that said, they've had some nice wins. Dalton has elevated the team, as they say, instead of the team elevating him, as usual. They came back from 17 down last week. They went, 75 yards in 4 minutes to beat the Falcons at the end of that game, which, as you guys saw, that beating the Falcons is no big deal. But still, they came back in Atlanta to win that game. So there are signs. There are signs of the Bengals not being the same old Bengals, but I'm not ready to commit myself to that completely.
You mentioned about getting in the Steelers, getting in their heads. It's one of the stats that's most amazing to me about the Steelers is they're 17-3 at Paul Brown Stadium. Do you think they're in the Bengals' heads?
Oh, sure. I don't think there's any question. They've changed coordinators. They've got some different players, some younger guys. They maybe not quite as familiar with the rivalry. But again, that's something that can be said frequently. So until the Bengals prove that they can win this game and win it without making asses out of themselves and the Steelers making asses out of themselves like they did last December, I'm not going to be totally sold.
Paul, I'm real curious about Dalton and how he is different, if he's different, and what role Alex Van Pelt might have played in all of this, a former Pitt quarterback?
I think Dalton has a different coordinator. That's the first thing. Bill Lazor has been very good, and he seems to have matched heads with Andy the way Jay Gruden did back when Jay was the offensive coordinator here. Dalton is playing with a confidence that I've not seen him play with before. Not only that, he seems to have elevated the guys around him, get them believing in him. And that's not something I've seen for long stretches before either. So I think he is different. I think he's back to the 2015 Andy. And if he stays upright, that's a good thing.
And Van Pelt is a guy that Aaron Rodgers really liked, that the Bengals made it a point to go out and get. Do you think that that's significant, or is that just maybe not a big factor in this?
I don't know. He doesn't mention, and Dalton doesn't talk about him, so I've not heard the name mentioned a lot inside the walls down there. So I think that I really do believe that it's Lazor. Lazor's had the big impact. They have a somewhat revamped offensive line. I mean, last year, Dalton had no time, and he's never been a good quarterback when he's had guys in his face, when the pocket collapses. And they've helped that somewhat this year. The line has not been great, but it's not terrible anymore either. I think those two components, Lazor and the line, have a lot more to do with it.
We're talking to Paul Daugherty of the Cincinnati Inquirer here on the Cook and Joe Show. One name mentioned inside the Steelers walls every day this week has been Vontaze Burfict. He came back last week. I saw got about, 35 snaps. What do you expect from him? And, I mean, can he control himself against the Steelers? There are already talk here about him looking to get even with Juju Smith-Schuster for the block and taunt last year.
Well, I mean, as you know, Vontaze is going to do Vontaze. And that would just follow suit. The Bengals like to think that Vontaze is going to get with the program and sacrifice his own need for revenge and bloodlust for the good of the team. But that's another one of those deals where I'll believe it when I see it. And maybe he's in the Steelers' heads. That would be a nice change, right?
Oh, they're aware of him, no doubt. They are absolutely aware of him.
Paul, when you look at changes, speaking of changes, Marvin Lewis is still there after all these years.
Was it
hoisted upon him that he better make some staff changes, or why is he still there is the basic question.
Well, Mike Brown's comfortable with him, quote unquote. I've never known the NFL to be a comfortable league where the teams that are really good because they're comfortable. But that's the reasoning that we get. Mike gets along well with Marvin. They understand each other, so on and so forth. That's basically why he's still here. The offensive coordinator change was done last year after two games, so you can't really give that one to Marvin. The defensive coordinator change was made in the offseason. Because Paul Gunther got a better offer. So I don't know. I don't know. If you remember, the last time that everybody thought Marvin was going to get fired was after 2010 when they had Terrell Owens and went 4-12, and they didn't fire him then. And they actually came out and made the playoffs 5 years in a row. So maybe this will be a kind of a repeat, a reboot of 2010.
Paul, I'm just curious. I don't know if there was talk about him being fired last year. I thought he was ready to move on, maybe retire, maybe take another job in the NFL office or something, and then all of a sudden they give him an extension. What changed?
That's a million-dollar question. With I think the game 14, they were playing in Minnesota, and the rumor came across before the game that he was going to resign after the year. So I don't know. Mike and Marvin, they have this sort of it's a strange relationship. And in 2010, Marvin had to be kind of talked into coming back. And I suppose that they sat down and Mike had told him, you know, let's wait till the rest of, you know, let's play these last few games. Let's see how it goes. And then let's have our annual right after the season talk, and maybe you'll change your mind. And as it turned out, they won those last two games, and Mike and Marvin met, as they usually do, the day after the season. And I guess Marvin decided that hanging out would be a good thing to do.
Paul Daugherty of the Cincinnati Inquirer. You can text us on the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line, 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder & Associates reminds you to text responsibly. You can follow us on Twitter, 93.7 The Fan, driven by Shorkey Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram with locations in North Huntington and the North Hills. Paul, when the Pitt football program was switching coaches every 10 minutes, Terrell Austin was a guy who was mentioned every single year as somebody who might be their next head coach.
Yeah.
Now he's the Bengals coordinator, and it seems like they're playing pretty well defensively, certainly changing games with turnovers. Tell us about their defense and his effect on it.
Well, that's what they've done. If you look at the numbers are not great, but they have come up with unusually great key defensive plays when they had to have them. They scored two touchdowns in the second half last year. Last week on a pick six and a fumble recovery for a touchdown, and they won the game, the opener in Indianapolis on a pick six. They've come up with big plays. They're not great defensively in terms of stats, but like I said, when they've needed a big play, they've gotten it. But that doesn't mean that they're great defensively. I think they're very beatable. on defense. If you take away the marquee guys, Dunlap, Geno Atkins, who's had a monstrous year so far, and now Burfict coming back, they're just okay. They're average. They're going to give up some yards. The question is if they can keep coming up with these big plays.
You know, you mentioned Atkins and Dunlap. I talked to David DeCastro the other day, and he said those two are as good as any two defensive linemen in the league. It sounds like they make everything go, right?
It's unbelievable. If you one of the cool things about going to a game, as you guys know, rather than watching it on TV, is you can decide what you want to look at. You know, you're not beholden to the square sitting in front of you. So I take lots of plays off and do nothing but watch Geno Atkins. And even when he's double-teamed, he's a monster. You know, and he's usually double-teamed. And Dunlap, again, has been a big play guy. He is playing at a Pro Bowl level for sure, maybe an all-pro level in terms of being able to get to the quarterback and just disrupt everything. So those two guys are really having great years to this point.
Paul, there's a lot of Pitt connections there. Tyler Boyd is another one. He has become, ever since he was the hero in where? Buffalo last year when he caught the ball to beat Baltimore and knock him out. He's become a bigger part of the offense?
Much bigger. He didn't do a lot last week for whatever reason, but he Dalton trusts him. He's playing the role kind of that Mohamed Sanu did when he was here. Back when the Bengals had a really big-time offense. And that's the key to him. He knows what he's doing now. He's running good routes. Like I said, Dalton knows he can depend on him. And it's been a big part of the passing game to this point.
Paul, injury-wise, looking up and down the list here, I see Billy Price, the center. I see Giovanni Bernard, I guess, didn't practice yesterday. William Jackson, John Ross. Which one of those guys is most important to them who might miss the game? Do you expect all those guys to miss?
Giovanni Bernard for sure. Billy Price, the center, for sure. The other guys are wait and see. The most important guys is William Jackson. He's not had a great year to this point after having a really good year last year. But he's still a pretty good cover corner. And the guy on the other side is not. Dre Kirkpatrick is not what you'd call an all-pro corner. And the slot guy, Darquez Dennard, is going to have his hands full with Schuster. So, yeah, William Jackson is the guy. I think he's going to play. I'm not sure. I'm not down there all the time. But of all those guys you named, he's easily the most important guy on that list.
How about the new free safety? How's he been?
The kid, Jesse Bates?
Yeah.
He's been all right. I mean, he's played within the system, if that's what you want to call about it. I don't know that he's been a key to that defense, but I don't think he's hurt them either, especially for a rookie.
Paul, I got two things to ask you. One more football question here. I know you're cynical and you want to see more. How's the town reacting to this team? Is Cincinnati believing in it, or is it like you, almost afraid and holding its breath, waiting for something bad to happen?
It's the first time in my career, Ron, where the town has been more cynical than I am. By and large, they're not real believers. Maybe after this game, if they win this game, then they go to Kansas City next Sunday night and somehow win that one. Yeah. The attendance has been down, even from last year when it was down a bunch. There's some talk about them, but not a lot. And I just think that, as you know, the combination of things that have happened here over the years, the not winning playoff games, bringing back Marvin, all that kind of stuff, has worn people down here to the point that they're very much in the wait and see mode. And even with that, I think there's still some people out there pretty afraid to give their hearts to this football team.
All right, when you were on this show last year, you had sworn off the Pirates. Everybody knows you were a Pirates fan. You swore them off. You said never again did a winning season and that young pitching staff bring you back.
Somewhat. You know, I have to give props to my guy Bob Smizek, who's kind of my shrink. I email him on occasion and just kind of vent about stuff that I don't like. That helped, and the fact that I didn't think they were going to win 82 games. That was good. I still don't like Clint Hurdle. I still don't like the way he runs the team. I don't like Starling Marte. I think he and Polanco are the two most important players, and Marte doesn't seem to care half the time, and Polanco just kind of plays dumb baseball half the time. But I like the young arms, and I'm very confident, Ron, that they'll open their wallets real wide this winter and pick up a couple of more starting pitchers and a power bat, right?
Machado and Harper, I believe.
Yeah, those
both
are the two bats. Doc, they really don't. I don't think they need a starting pitching. I love this young rotation, but they're crying for a bat. You know, they're crying. And you talk about being cynical in Cincinnati. No one here expects them to spend any money.
Well, why should they? They never do.
Well, attendance was way down this year, Doc. 1.4 million. Just
good.
3 years, it was down from 2.5 million.
Yeah, well, that's you got to win. You know, you got to spend a little money every once in a while. I mean, you know me, Ron. I could go on and on, and maybe I will Sunday when I see you. But no, I'm not back to full-time fanhood. It's just too painful. But I'm nagging around the edges. You know what I mean?
Well, you and Doc Emmerich are the Pirates' two biggest celebrity fans. So Doc said he's with them every year. So,
well, good for him. I'm not.
Hey, Paul, we'll see you on Sunday. Looking forward to making the trip over and seeing you. And as always, thanks so much for taking the time.
Thanks, Paul.
All right, guys. Talk to you later.
All right. Paul Dougherty of the Cincinnati Inquirer had some interesting things to say.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.